I want to express my gratitude for your attendance this morning. I see that several are wrapped up in quilts and that sort of thing. If one of the men would you please come and turn the air up just a degree or so? Sermons come from many different places. I will admit that I scour several different sites where I might find ideas, and I believe in giving credit where credit is due. I borrowed this sermon from a preacher named Dennis Tucker. It's not his sermon, it's his idea. People tend to have similar traits. I know the way some folks will react to a situation because of the way they think. If they were in a car together and had a flat tire, I know that one would think the worst possible outcome. Oh man, we're going to get run over. Or we're going to be late for where we're headed. Another would blame the drive for the flat tire. You know what? If we would have taken 115 instead of the interstate, we wouldn't have this flat tire. Yet another would volunteer to stand beside the road and flag down cars for the purpose of safety, or maybe to rent assistance and that sort of thing. And one or two might even, you know what? I think there might be a spare and a jack in the trunk, and let's get it out and let's change the tire. I found over the years that while all people are different, they are all like many others that we may know. You know, there's an old T-shirt that I once saw that said, "You are special, just like everybody else." And we'll see that people are alike. So I want to take a look this morning at the Tater family so that we might see what I'm talking about. I mentioned that to one of the members here, and he said, "You going to preach on Spud?" No. I'm not going to preach on that kind of tater, or I'm not going to preach on maters. My wife often gets on me when I say, "What are we going to have for supper, some taters?" No, they're potatoes. But I want to talk about this family, and you'll see what I'm talking about, and these types of people. Let me introduce you first to Brother Agitator. He's a person that's always trying to stir up trouble in Bible class. He'll ask impossible questions. Excuse me, did the Lord ever make a mountain so big that he couldn't move it? Or those kind of questions. He will do so in order to create confusion. He wants to keep things stirred up. You know, if we keep everybody active, a lot gets done. Things happen. Well, confusion happens. In Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, we have a passage dealing with old Brother Agitator. It says, "But foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, we are to avoid them, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." He's the kind of person that wants to be heard. He wants people to know he's there. He wants people to know that he's stirring the nest, so to speak. Some questions are not for us to ask, and the answers are not ones that we can readily ascertain. Not even through study and those sort of things. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the secret things belong to God. There are some things that we are not to know while here on this earth. I suspect that when the time comes for us to know it, that we will know those things. But Brother Agitator and those like him never offer a word of encouragement. Kind of reminds me of Sanballat over in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He's the kind of person that sits back and he watches what's going on, and he offers his little gems of groups of words, and they're designed to cause trouble. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation. He says, "I'm going to agitate this." What did he do? He mocked the Jews. "And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.'" Notice the contagion that is involved here. One person says something negative, they don't offer encouragement, and then somebody else chimes in and they have to add their little piece to it. Brother Agitator gets some things started. If a fox go up, that's a flimsy wall, isn't it? Some of their favorite phrases are, "I told you that wouldn't work." And then they're very quick to say, "Well, it's not my fault." We have several taters that we want to talk about, so let me move on very quickly. On the other side of the room sits Sister Irritator. She complains and grumbles about everything. She can't find something good in any situation. In Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 and 12, we'll see that Moses led several out of the land of Egypt that were irritators. "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness?" Here we have a situation when they're saying, "We could have died back there, not had to make this journey, not have to gather everything, not have to carry these children." They continue on, "Wherefore hast thou dealt with thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell them in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." They look at the situation and they see something bad. We see that it didn't stop there in chapter 15 and verse 24. We see again the murmuring that went on among the people. "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink?" They couldn't be satisfied. Sister Irritator is that way. Even when things go well, this type of people will gripe because there's nothing else left to gripe about. When they do speak, it is with evil intent. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. We'll see that one who was speaking the truth, speaking that which was proper, but was doing so from the wrong standpoint. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, I think we would readily admit that this thing that this woman was saying was true, that the Spirit was proclaiming. We know that when Jesus was here on the earth, as he communicated with these spirits, they all identified him as the Son of God. They all identified him as the one who would bring salvation to mankind. But this person was following Paul and those with him about saying these things. Notice what occurred. "And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." Now, while what she was doing, or the proclamation that she was making, was true, these were the servants of the Most High God. They will show unto us the way of salvation. But that she was hindering the work. She was getting in the way. If there's peace and quiet, it won't last long once Sister Irritator gets there. Well, we also have Brother Dictator. Brother Dictator has to have things his way. 3 John, verse 9, we find the inspired record of a brother dictator. "I wrote into the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." In other words, he stood in the way of forward progress of God's work because it wasn't the way he wanted it done. A favorite saying of Brother Dictator is, "It's my way or the highway." I was in another life a boss. People often said, "Oh, Dennis, if it's not his way, it's the highway." I said, "No, that's not the case. You convince me of the proper way that I'm not seeing, we'll do it that way. But what we're going to do is what's right." Brother Dictator's opinion is his matter of faith. I believe it, and that makes it right. He will either rule the nest or destroy it. Turn to Esther, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. We'll find one who was such as Brother Dictator. Esther, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Here we have one who had, through deception, got himself elevated to a position that he wanted because it made him the preeminent one. It made him one that these others were to bow down to. Now Mordecai, being a Jew, knew that he was not to bow down to man, and therefore he didn't. And he went on about his life, and we find in verse 6, talking about Haman, he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. You're not going to do what I want done? I'll destroy you. I'll end you. This kind of person views the church as his possession instead of the Lord's. Often we hear about people saying, in my church, we do this and this and that. And what do y'all do over at your church? And I'm quick to point out to people, I don't have a church. I attend services where the people of God gather. It's the Lord's church. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us whose church it is. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Oftentimes with this brother dictator, you can tell how many generations of his family has been coming to the congregations. I remember once when someone said to me, well, I'm a charter member here. What does that mean? Well, when I was in knee breeches, my parents helped start this congregation. Okay. I'm glad you did, because had they not, somebody else would have to. But why did they start it, and how did they start it, and what rule are you following? It's not the rule of mama and daddy. It's not the ruler of the person who has stuck it out the longest. It's not Brother Dictator's church. This person often speaks of love and forbearance, but shows very little. He doesn't have his way. He gets mad. He raises his voice. He throws a chair. Christian, he says he is. That brings us to dear sister Lamentator. All the good days are in the past. You know what it means to lament, don't you? Something is wrong with everybody except her. You know, the preacher's too tall. He's too short. He's too thin. He's too fat. He talks funny. He don't talk enough. His sermons are too long. His sermons are too short. He's too intellectual. He's not deep enough. The men are not knowledgeable enough, or they just want to flaunt their knowledge. You know, the sisters, they're cold and distant toward me. You know, in times past, the sermons were better. The prayers were more heartfelt. The Bible classes were really classes. And the song leaders knew what they were doing. Things were so much better in the past. Hey, you know what? Even the Lord's Supper had a cloth over it. It's not good enough today. This person's possibly a descendant of Judas. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. We'll see the idea that is within Judas and what it caused him to do. We know this is a situation in which Jesus was in Bethany, and he went and something was done for him, and they had indignation. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came to him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he set it meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Here we have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who will bring salvation to the world. He is being honored, and they call it a waste. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. If you continue reading, you find out how that affected Judas. What did he do? He went out and he betrayed our Lord. And he did so for 30 pieces of silver. Sister Lamentator and those like her do not recognize the good that is around them. They're always looking back at how it used to be. The good old days. Things were so much better back then. Oh yeah. Had the windows open because we didn't have air conditioner. Had flies buzzing. It was hot. The preacher was probably just as tall as the preacher now. Preached good sermons. But it was better. Those were the good old days. Then we have Brother Spectator. Brother Spectator, he never gets involved. He's always on the sidelines watching. If you'll ask him, he'll tell you how it should have been done. But he's never actually done it. He's the typical Monday morning quarterback in the pew. In other words, he watched the game on Sunday. You know what? If I'd have thrown to the other side, it's me. That's what I'd have done. I'd have thrown to the other side. If I'd have preached that sermon, I'd have used this passage. If I'd have led the same songs, it wouldn't be these. It'd be something else. He wants all the privileges, but none of the responsibilities of memberships. Remember his name. He's a spectator. He watches. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24, we see Jesus Christ talking not about individuals, but cities who had opportunities to do things. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, thou shalt be brought to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. He had given them every opportunity to perform, every opportunity to do something. All these wonderful works that Jesus had performed there. What did they do? They watched them. They saw them. They didn't heed the lesson. Brother Spectator expects someone to preach the Bible class or teach the Bible class, but he won't volunteer to do so. He says, you know what? If you ever get started teaching a Bible class, you'll always teach it because nobody else will step up. He likes good singing, but he doesn't open his songbook and he will not lead. He thinks somebody should always be prepared to preach and teach, but not him. He won't lead the prayer. He won't do anything else but come, sit, watch, and leave. Oh, Brother Spectator. Then we have others who assemble with the saints. We're not going to call him a brother because he's not. He's Mr. Hesitator. He's not a member, but he knows the truth. Just ask him. Oh, how sad a situation when you talk to somebody and they know the truth, but they never obeyed it, and they won't. Why? Because they're a hesitator. In Acts chapter 17, verses 32 and 33, we see a situation, those who were hesitators. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. What do you do when somebody repeatedly says, not yet? You have to move on. The field is white into harvest, but the laborers are few. He says he loves God, but he lives like he hates him. Love is the keeping of the commandments of God. If a person loves God, they're going to keep his commandments, including obedience. Uncle Felix Tater was one of his ancestors. You didn't know that was Felix's last name, was it? Do you? Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Paul had been there, had opportunity to speak to him. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Old Felix hesitated himself right into condemnation. We have no record whatsoever that he obeyed the gospel. Part of his problem is that he has a hard time making the commitment to obey the gospel. You know, everybody wishes he would. But that's something he's got to do for himself. Go thy way for this time. When I have convenience. He says, you know, it's always been funny to me. He says to Paul, go thy way for this season. What was Paul? He was a prisoner. Where was he going to go? He was basically saying the same thing that we hear today out of the hesitators. I don't want to hear it. Leaving sin is hard, but necessary in order to get to heaven. Now, I've painted a picture of taters and that they're pretty bad. But not all taters are bad. There are a couple of good taters that we need to identify and discuss. We have Sister Imitator. She's modeled her life after Jesus. She follows 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 as Paul is writing to the Corinthian brethren. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." In other words, imitate me because I'm following Christ. That's what Sister Imitator does. Her full-time job is being a godly woman. That's what she focuses on. She doesn't have much time to complain or grumble, but, you know, if she did have time, she wouldn't do it because she's looking for good, solid work to do as a Christian woman. She seems to always be busy with her faith. In James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, we can see what kind of faith that Sister Imitator has. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." A lot of times you can tell about a person by what they do, who they're following. I never will forget that the amusement. I think that's why I remember it. We had a landlady one time who told us that her son had bad feet because he ran with the wrong crowd. That is funny. It's hilarious. And I'll never forget it. But that's not why he had bad feet. Now, he may very well have picked up some bad habits along the way. Sister Imitator. People either tend to really like her or really dislike her. Now, finally, we have Brother Meditator. What does he do? He examines his life and he studies to make sure he's doing the right thing. He applies to his life the things that we find in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We know the first psalm. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Oh, he hears the sermon. He listens to the lesson. He jots down a few notes. And then he takes it home and he ponders it. He questions the things that are said. He studies to make sure that what's being taught is the truth. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 48. We see the psalmist wrote here, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you belong to the Tater family? People are going to say, no, not me. The truth of the matter is we all do. I'm a Tater. You're a Tater. The thing is, as we belong somewhere in this group, we have to decide which Tater we're going to be. What kind of Tater are you? Do yourselves a favor this morning. Make sure that you're the kind of Tater that's going to go to heaven. Don't be like Sister Lamentator. Don't be like the other taters that we pointed out. That in our minds, if we're honest with ourselves, we're thinking, "Oh, he's talking about so-and-so. Oh, he's talking about brother over there." No. Let us examine ourselves. Make sure that you're the kind of tailor that can go to heaven. How do you do that? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, 17, that we must hear the gospel. Or we must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It tells us in John 3:16 that we must believe. For God so loved the world that he sent, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're also told in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 that we must repent. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, we see that we are to confess. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 tells us that we are to be baptized. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Friends, then we are to begin being faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2:10, the last part of it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, if we are erring Christians, all hope is not lost. The Bible tells us that what we must do there, we must repent and pray. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Repent therefore this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I don't know your status today, but you do. Be honest with yourself. Are you on the road going to heaven? Are you headed for destruction? You can make a difference in your life today. Won't you obey as together we stand and sing the invitation song?